My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Didn't get huge news when it comes to Deshaun Watson, whether or not he's going to play tomorrow in a game you will catch right here on Sports Radio 92.3, The Fan, 216-474-0092. Obviously, a lot of discussion on whether or not the QB should even play. We've seen a bunch of other quarterbacks play in this game. Jason Lloyd, you are on record as to say you'd like to see Deshaun Watson. I am on record saying I'd like to see Deshaun Watson. But at this point, even with the left tackle situation in flux, we're not exactly sure what the plan of attack is going to be and who's going to be ready for week one. It is still very much in the air. By the way, we had some high school football games last night. Our football season is finally underway. It seems interminable that we had no football, no high school, no college, no NFL, but we finally had real games yesterday. I know Ken would have loved talking about Stark County because we had some teams in action.
Oh, tons of
yesterday.
Stark County games, right?
I don't know what it is about Thursdays, but you had Meslin, McKinley, all victors. Perry, Kenny's Perry already 1-0. How incredible is that? And tonight you've got some feature games. Perhaps if I get the sheets, we will have the Sharps in Vermilion
nice. A
little bit later. Still working on it. Not sure if you're familiar, Jason, but they get together. They're in Vermilion. Chez Francois, normally known as a very, very upscale restaurant.
It's very good.
Well, this is where they convene.
In the basement.
The old men in the tracksuits, they're in there getting those lines out.
They are working on the numbers. It's incredible. It's disgusting that you...
Yeah, we've never bet on the high school games.
Even with gambling legal, sports betting, legal in the state of Ohio, the fact that people would go this race to the bottom to bet on high school football, it's very sad. We'll have the numbers, perhaps, later in the show. 216-474-0092. We have your training camp report. Training camp has finally come to an end, but I'm not sure that the fans feel all that into it this year. Jason, you were down in Greenbrier, and it just was kind of a. Then they come back. They only had 5 practices that were available for the fans to attend. One of them was shaken up by tumultuous weather, and they had this kind of skedaddle.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the fans are fully invested in the training camp experience?
No, probably not, because they haven't seen the guys. Like, Nick Chubb hasn't played for obvious reasons. Miles hasn't been out there. When the stars aren't out there, it's hard to get excited. It's hard to get excited for guys who aren't probably going to be on this team in 3 weeks. So, it's understandable. There's at the start, you're just excited to see football again, right? You're excited to see orange helmets, brown uniforms, guys hitting each other. And then it's like, all right, wake me up when Dallas is here. Wake me up when it's time. But, and when your team's playing, am I wrong? When your guys are out there playing, you're going to be more excited.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it's been a great training camp if you're a Chiefs fan because Mahomes has been on the field twice in the preseason,
yeah.
Right? And they don't have to worry about, is he taking real throws or practice throws or phantom throws? Is there a towel involved? It's been great for those guys. Have you not felt like, Anthony, this is probably the least savory training camp that we've had, at least in this station's existence.
Well, we typically play a lot of Michael Stanley. It's a lot of here we go, Brownies, here we go. And you've seen some videos online, but a lot of it is drill oriented. And then when you have, you know, your matchup with the Minnesota Vikings, the Vikings week, I mean, Diana Russini came in and said the Browns look terrible. It's one of the worst she had seen. But she had only seen the day that Deshaun Watson really, really struggled. They had the issues on the offensive line.
This was during the Vikings joint practice stuff.
Pretty much the whole joint practice stuff.
Everybody panned that. And that was the time that, you know, the outside media came in, right? That's when everybody was here.
A lot of the national people were here. There's a couple national people at Greenbrier, and then a few more came in for the joint practices.
But that's where we get the reports that, you know, the offenses looked horrible and the Vikings defense outclassed the offense.
Now,
that whole time was, but the same thing was coming back that the Browns defense was
embarrassing. The Browns defense was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Browns defense was amazing. We were asking people, like, did that matter? But it seems like fans expected our defense to be dominant. That's not really newsworthy. They know the defense isn't going to carry us to the Super Bowl. It's still got to be the offense. And they're looking for any glimmer of hope with the offense. And Jameis, you know, Jameis has been somebody. He's been a veteran now in the league. He's been a backup. He's played very few. He's had very few starts the last 4 years or 3 years in the NFL. But you know what you're getting at, Jameis Winston. I think fans at some point want to see Deshaun Watson. But then I say that, and then I hear a lot of people, you know, over the last few days in the afternoon show, I hear Nick Wilson and then a bunch of callers say, we don't care. We don't care about preseason. We don't care. We don't need to see Watson. Wake me up when the season starts. Wake me up when you're going up against the Dallas Cowboys. I just think that's a little dangerous. I know they play 17 games. You're not going to sink your season in the opener.
Right.
But for a team that overhauled the offense, for a team that brought in a new offensive coordinator, for a team that at least debated whether or not they were going to change who's calling the plays, I can't lie. I would have felt more comfortable seeing some Deshaun Watson, and now it feels like we're not going to see him at all.
No, I agree with all of that. And if this was the same offense, if Deshaun finished last year healthy, it wouldn't be that big of a deal if you don't see these guys. But there were so many questions the way last season ended and the overhaul of the winter, you'd like a little bit more proof. It doesn't mean they can't pull it together at week one and go out and run Dallas off the field. It could happen. Sure, it could happen, but I don't know that we've seen anything. Have you seen anything at all or heard anything at all over the last 6 weeks that makes you feel good about where they're at going into week one?
It's mostly platitudes from the coaching staff and from people talking about the offense. Nothing very specific.
I don't have a ton of reason for optimism over where they're at. Like, are you really excited that, hey, this offense is clicking and they're ready to go? I don't know how you can feel that. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't know what evidence you have.
For me, it's going to be something that happens during the season.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm going into week one thinking about.
That's fair. Fine. I'm just saying, I don't know that we've had any sort of evidence or proof that this thing looks great.
All right. That is your training camp report.
Countdown to the season opener brought to you by Genesee Brewing Company and Circa Resorts and Casino.
All right, here is Albert Breer, yesterday afternoon show. We'll get to the phones here in a second. 216-474-0092 on this offense and what it needs to be this year around Deshaun Watson.
I feel like if you watched him in Houston, there was a comfort level in the way that he played that like hasn't existed since he got to Cleveland. What I'm interested to see is, like, you know, after last year where they tried to do more to fit the offense around Deshaun after a really awkward 2022 with him, this should be the full-fledged version of it, right? Based on the resources you put into building an offense for him. So I think pretty quickly, like, you should sort of look for him playing with a confidence and a comfort level that maybe he hasn't played with yet in Cleveland. Not to say he's going to be throwing for 350 every week right away or anything like that, but you'd hope that they're building something for him that has him back in that groove that he was in for all those years in Houston.
All right, that was Albert Breer yesterday, afternoon drive. Jason, what does that mean to you? I keep hearing a lot of build the offense around Deshaun Watson. I mean, we have a really smart coaching staff. I think we've had a very good coaching staff. I think ESPN has you ranked 13th in terms of overall coaches. But, of course, you bounced, you know, your offensive coordinator from a year ago, Van Pelt. So what does that mean to you? Because I thought the offense was supposed to be designed around Deshaun Watson from the moment they got a guy as good as Deshaun Watson.
Well, Yes, but clearly they were still doing things that Kevin wanted to do last year, and he was running an offense that he felt could succeed in the NFL, and it doesn't necessarily align with everything that Deshaun has always felt comfortable. I've mentioned this 100 different times, but it's worth repeating once more. The Baltimore game that everybody clings to, because Deshaun played so well in the second half, he told me in the locker room after that game, like, I'm under center. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't complaining that he didn't like it. He was just saying, this is different. I haven't done it this way before. Kevin wants me under center. Like, he wants running play action and stuff like that, and I just haven't done it that way before. Well, clearly, with the way that this is trending now, they are going to whatever he... What do you want, Deshaun? We're going to do whatever you want. How do you want the offense to look? We're going to do it your way. And when you spend $230 million in a quarterback, that, of course, that's how you're going to do it. So that part I get. I understand that. But with the concerns over the offensive line right now, like, I can't wait to talk to John Greco about Jed Wills, because I've never seen arthroscopic surgery need 9 months.
We have brought that up over the last few days. That, like, is bizarre.
It's crazy. So for all the changes that they're doing to the offense, I was talking to Bernie Kosar about this the other day. Part of me still thinks they're going to wind right back up in 12 and 13 personnel and going heavy with Nick Harris out there and Michael Dunn out there and extra linemen as blockers, because do you have any faith right now that they have two healthy tackles that they can run out there? No.
So everything that this entire training camp was supposed to be about was transitioning from that Nick Chubb, that type of run first offense that they had over the last few years, and that Stefanski has had with play action. The whole point was to transition that.
And I still think they're
going to
do that.
Deshaun Watson back in Houston, the spread, you know, out of the shotgun.
And I still think they're
not turning your back to the defense.
I still think they're going to do that. But with all the injuries that they've had up front right now, with all the concerns they have up front, part of me still thinks you're still going to see that. That isn't totally dead. That isn't totally gone from this offense. I don't think. Now, if Jed Wills rolls out next week and is fine and is healthy, and DeJuan Jones is fine at right tack, like, you know, okay, maybe that goes away. But with the age of the line, with the injuries that they've had, with the uncertainty right now with the tackles, I just don't think it's totally dead.
Cool Ray in Bedford. You're on 92.3 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Yo, man, you got a loaded question. I just got, you know, with Stefanski, I've never been a Stefanski fan whatsoever. I just think he's been a coach on the team prior to him getting here that the Browns was firing everybody, and the national media was saying how inconsistent it was. And so they hired someone, and they caught in a position where he's irreplaceable. He's very replaceable, regardless of the two awards, just because the Browns didn't do anything. Like, we're not, and the reason you're not.
What do you mean they didn't do anything? I mean, they did make the playoffs in five quarterbacks last year.
Okay, so in 20 years, right? All these coaches, and it goes to your question also about why there's no real big talk about Deshaun Watson. And if we be honest with ourselves, the Browns have talent, but it's like a spark plug. There's something that's just not right. They're just a middle of the road team. They haven't. Yeah, they play. We get hyped about a playoff game, and not playing our starters when overall, that's really all we got is two playoff games in over 20 years. And then this coach says we're not going to play our starters. And every year, you and the other staff on here, we talk about how the offense isn't catching up to the...
Do you want Watson to play tomorrow, Cool Ray?
I think everybody should play tomorrow. Like, real talk, y'all just gave 20 minutes of why they should play. The offense doesn't look good. They looked horrible last week. There is no consistency with the left tackles. He wants us to believe that everything is, and he just replaced everybody on the coaching staff except himself. So he wants us to believe through all this that we come out, we're ready to compete with people like Patrick Mahomes, and we don't say that Andy Reid is right. I don't know. How many Super Bowls have he won?
All right, cool, Ray. Gotta go. Appreciate the call. 216-474-0092. A lot of different ways to do it, and the Browns have determined that this is the way they're going to do it. They are playing starters tomorrow. He hasn't been specific about how many series, how long that's going to go, and whether or not Deshaun Watson is going to be under center or in the gun for tomorrow's game. 216-474-0092. Jason Lloyd is here, so I got to ask him. We ended up going toe-to-toe on this show about the trade for Donovan Mitchell and where those grades were at. I haven't been as concerned about the offensive line as I think a lot of people, because I'm like, do they still have Joel Bitonio? Do they still have Wyatt Teller? Maybe you get Conklin, who's started to work out and practice, or at least show up at practice in a Browns uniform. But some people are a little nervous. Jason Lloyd is in for Ken Carmen today.
I'm in a little nervous. I'm in the nervous camp.
Nervous?
Yeah.
I mean, most fan bases do not get five great offensive linemen. We have had the luxury of having a really, really solid offensive line now for a long period of time.
Yep.
And that just isn't the case normally. Now, Bill Callahan, that is the one thing I am nervous about, is that Callahan is gone. So you don't know if they're going to be able to fall back on a lot of the fundamentals that it seems like, hey, this guy's out, this guy's out, this guy's out. All right, whatever. We'll deal with it. And that is something that the running game, you know, has always been pretty dynamic regardless. So we'll see this year. But, like, as far as, you know, left tackle situation, yeah, Jed Wills, I don't know what to expect. This was going to be a make-or-break year for him, and he's not been able to really be out there. And, like you said, going to break, arthroscopic knee surgery, this is kind of different.
8 months. I think I said nine earlier. It's been eight. He had surgery in December. It's now the end of August.
Do we think it was more than arthroscopic knee surgery?
No. No, I don't think. Something had clearly happened along the way. But I went back and looked. When he had it, they said he'd be ready for the start of the season. Well, all right. We've got 2 weeks to go-ish. So we'll see. We got 2 weeks. Maybe he's out there Monday. Or Tuesday, when they come back from Seattle.
Is that enough time to get ready for the season?
Yeah. If he's out there next week, that's enough time.
Then why did we start doing this in July? Why did the rest of the team start in July?
Well, I mean, veterans will tell you, like, training camp's awful, and a lot of guys will string out injuries or whatever.
You saw that with some of the vets, by the way. By the way, the first day those guys met, knees, hamstring.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you after the Seattle game.
Right. And maybe that's the case. Maybe he's out there next week and all this goes away. But until we see it, I think you have to have a little bit of a level of concern.
All right. No concern as far as Jason Lloyd is concerned on the Donovan Mitchell trade. Obviously, Jason is somebody who's covered the Cavs a very long time. So I wanted to pick your brain on this because we got into it big time yesterday. We got into almost a shouting match when it came to the Bleacher Report grades on the Mitchell trade. They said, hey, we're regrading. It's been a few years. And then Ken Carmen and I, we went toe-to-toe.
Bleacher Report, they did a regrade of the trade with the Cavs. Donovan, Spider Mitchell, and Lauri Markkanen. And they gave the Jazz an A. They gave the Cavs a B+. You right now are saying that Utah would get a higher grade than the Cavs.
I think it's a 10 out of 10. I agree with their site. You could not have done better than to get those draft picks and Lauri Markkanen.
I think you're crazy. I do not think that they won this trade or they should get a higher grade than the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'll listen to anybody.
So that was yesterday, and I did say I thought the Cavs, the fact that they got Donovan Mitchell to stay, huge, huge coup for the Cavs. I did say they've only won one playoff series, and they were supposed to be title contenders with that move. That's why they pounced when they did on Donovan Mitchell. It was a trade I absolutely endorsed at the time. Yeah. I still do.
Yeah.
I just think Utah ended up getting way more than I thought they would because Lauri Markkanen is a borderline all-NBA player, and I didn't think that at the time when they dealt for him.
I'd still rather have Donovan Mitchell on my team than Lauri Markkanen.
Sure. Yeah, I don't disagree.
So it's as soon as Donovan re-signed, it's an A, period. They won the trade. Now, Utah can win it too, but it was a huge trade at the time.
Both teams can win.
Yeah, and I think they have. But here's the thing, and I'm with you. Like, Utah's got it between the Gobert trade and the Donovan trade. They've got a ton of picks coming. They're not going to be high picks.
Yeah.
Unless things go crazy wrong, and a ton of injuries here, whatever else.
The ones they got in the trade, they've been tanking. Right. I mean, they're trying to lose again this year for what is going to be a big-time draft class.
But the picks are going to be more than likely in the 20s, at least from the Cavs. Now, had Donovan not re-signed, this is a completely different conversation. The trade could be an absolute disaster. They would have had to trade him, and who knows what you get for him, whatever else. But that's not what happened. And there's a ton of mitigating reasons why he wound up signing the contract. It doesn't matter. He signed. He signed the deal. He's here. And so it's an A. It's not a B+. It's an A. Utah is totally irrelevant. And yes, they might be rebuilding, but they're completely irrelevant right now. And they've got a ton of picks coming, but they're not going to be lottery picks from the Cavs, more than likely. I mean, maybe at the end of this, maybe years 4 and 5, maybe if the Cavs make some trades or whatever, you know, it's impossible to say what this team's going to look like 4 or 5 years from now.
Do you think Lauri Markkanen is capped out? Like, he's 27.
Yeah. I mean, this is who he is. It's a good player.
He has shown improvement. I mean, almost every year, to the point where they had to take their foot off the gas last year.
Yeah,
because they were almost too good. They were almost too good, and they're trying to tank.
And by the way, give the Cavs credit for that too, because they're the ones that put him at the three. They're the ones who rejuvenated his career. Like, he was a disappointment in Chicago. He was a huge disappointment in Chicago. He comes here, they put him at the three. They go to this ultra big lineup, and it really sort of resuscitated.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Markkanen, and then he goes to Utah where there's a lot more oxygen in that offense, and he's been terrific. I'd still rather have Donovan Mitchell on my team than Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, Markkanen did, I mean, 11 threes a game, I think he shot last year, 40% from three. He obviously has, you know, size that, yes, you know, you'd love to have on the Cavs,
sure,
now, but,
yeah,
you know, he had to be part of the deal. So did Colin Sexton. Sexton's been, I still maintain Sexton's a six
he
man.
He is what he is.
And I think he could be a quality six man on almost any team.
Yes. Yes, I'd still rather have Donovan Mitchell. I'd rather have Donovan Mitchell than Lauri Markkanen, yeah, and Colin Sexton. And the picks, you know, the picks at one time felt like, boy, this could be a wrecking ball because we haven't even gotten to the to the meat of it. Like, when you look at the Browns and the Watson trade, they're through the worst of it because of the picks. I mean, the money is whatever, but the first round picks, that's over. They wrote the check. They paid the bill. The Cavs bill, the big bill, is still to come with the picks. Obviously losing Markkanen, but you got an upgrade with Mitchell. But the pick side of it, you haven't even felt that yet. So it could have been disastrous, but it's not going to be.
So the only thing, like, I don't disagree with anything you said on the Cavs side of things. I kind of felt like the Cavs would be closer to contending than they've showed. I mean, it's been 2 years. The first year was a disaster in the playoffs. Then they come back, and last year was nearly, the first half against Orlando in that Game 7 was nearly, yeah, another disaster.
Yeah.
They end up firing the coach anyway, so we'll see. Kenny Atkinson, but they haven't had a huge capacity to get better outside of internal development because of those picks. Because they're essentially close to being capped out. They don't have a lot of ways to get better, and they've been passed up by the New York Knicks. I had somebody tweeted me yesterday, do you think the Magic have passed them? I don't think that. But then again, you know, if Paolo Banchero continues to get better, that could be an issue. You don't want to get passed up by the Magic. You already know Philadelphia added Paul George, and they've got Joel Embiid. Maxey is a total stud, so they don't have to rely on Joel Embiid as much as they have. Milwaukee, are they going to be as bad again as they were last year? Are they going to have the injuries to basically their three best players were all injured last year at critical times? And then obviously the Celtics. So that's the one thing that I am disappointed with, is I thought when they made that move with Donovan Mitchell, they'd be closer than I think they are.
That's fair, but I would also say the parity of the NFL is here to stay in the NBA. Like, we're not going back. And I think it's going to be, I agree that there's probably at least three teams I would put above them right now. But Boston's really good. They're still going to be really good. But I don't, outside of them, I would sort of separate them. I don't know that there's another team out there that I look at and say the Cavs can't beat them. Like, I would give the Cavs, it's sort of like the Guardians. I'd give the Cavs a chance against anybody. And the NBA's never really been like that before, where the 4 seed or 5 seed could go to the finals.
Well, the West was totally wide open last year, as evidenced by Kyrie and Luka going on that run.
Right.
And next thing you know, they're in the NBA finals. The East, the only real reason, it's fair to say, the only real reason it was as open, or we thought it was as open, was, you know, Boston was like a mail-it-in team.
Boston
at
was
times.
Never really tested, and there's a ton of injuries.
Yes, and then obviously Porzingis, they were a different team with him as opposed to without him. Now, they're going to be without him to start the year, and you wonder how quickly, how motivated he'll be to really get back in there. They've got their championship now.
Yeah.
You're hoping that it can erode from within between Tatum and Brown. Brown ends up being most valuable player in the finals, most valuable player for them in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's been a weird offseason for Jason Tatum. I mean, you win your championship, then you don't play in the Olympics. Had to be humiliating for him. But they still seem like they are way better than everybody else. Do they not?
It will erode in Boston. Not yet. One championship doesn't make it erode. But it'll come. I mean, look at the Warriors. The Warriors eroded with Kevin Durant and the pressure of it all, and the Cavs with LeBron. And Dwayne Wade said it best, man, when he got here, and we were talking the one day about the Miami years with LeBron and Dwayne in Miami, and he said, after 4 years together, you sort of get sick of seeing each other. The jokes aren't funny anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it sort of runs its course, especially in the NBA more than any other sport. But Boston isn't there yet.
By the way, one thing I am intrigued, it's just a thought popped into my head about this, watching the Olympics. Like, Donovan Mitchell was not part of the Olympic team.
That was his choice.
It was his choice the year before, right?
Yeah.
The year before, he said that the Knicks series, brutal, I had to play.
He was concerned about the minutes JB was going to play him going into last season.
Mm.
And so he pulled himself from consideration, basically.
Yes, yes. And then wasn't even part of the discussion for this year.
I mean, because he had previously pulled himself.
So I wonder, guys like Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell thinks of himself as one of the best players in the NBA, does he not?
Yes.
And we've talked about, is he top 10? Is he top 15? Like, where do you have Donovan Mitchell? You don't have to power rank him right now.
Yeah, I'd put him in the fifth. I wouldn't put him in top 10.
Okay, so
that's a big power ranking.
That would be a big power ranking. That'd be like six of them roll into one. So somebody as good as him, and then you saw again in the playoffs, like, there are only a few guys in the league that are capable of, like, dropping 50 in a playoff game. That guy's done it.
Guy's
done it.
Twice.
Yeah, multiple times. That guy has showed up in some huge games. He's had some highs and lows in the playoffs.
Oh, he's had some terrible playoff games.
He's had some
in
bad
Cleveland.
Playoff games. But you know that he feels like he's one of the best in the NBA.
Absolutely.
And to see the praise heaped on not just the Steph Currys and LeBrons of the world, you know, in Kevin Durant's, but also guys like Drew Holiday, guys like, Devin Booker. Devin Booker has been able to, like, transform his game for the Olympics.
It's funny, you mentioned, I'm not as high on Booker as everybody else is. I think he's a really good player.
What do you think of the way he played, though? I mean, he played his role.
He did, and he played it very well, and that's hard for some guys to do. It's not easy to adapt like that.
I mean, even Derek White, as a role player, was getting run, and yet Donovan Mitchell Guys like Donovan Mitchell sitting at home watching Team USA, and the ratings were bonk. They got higher ratings for the basketball there than the NBA Finals, you know, for the Olympics.
Yeah.
I wonder if that is a chip on the shoulder of somebody like Donovan Mitchell. Like, no one's talking about Donovan Mitchell. We talked about all these great players in the league. Obviously, Jokic played for Serbia.
Yeah.
You had Luka. They didn't get out of group play, I don't think, did they? But you had all these guys around the Giannis for Greece. I mean, the team was terrible. They assembled around him. You had like washed up NBA guys who were like in their 40s playing on that team. Yet Donovan Mitchell doesn't get mentioned. And not to mention that Evan Mobley and Darius Garland, they should be part of this, right? They're max players in the NBA. Shouldn't they feel like they should be representing Team USA down the road? And you have all these guys that are an afterthought with Team USA.
Well, Donovan was self-inflicted. He could have been part of it. He certainly could have been part of it. He told him no. So maybe in 4 years he revisits that, given everything you just said. If he feels that, he'll only be 31 mm-hmm. in 4 years. So.
Well, they need him. I mean, they're not going to have Steph. They're not going to have LeBron. Not going to have Kevin Durant.
Right.
Most likely.
Right. Well, there'll be some spots open for
him. Yeah.
So, and maybe Evan Mobley's in that conversation in 4 years.
I do wonder.
He better be. He at least better be in the conversation.
Like, he hasn't even been on the select team.
And he should have been. I feel like he should have been. And I need to find out. I want to poke around on that and find out why. Because I thought he should have been on the select team. Darius was on the select team 4 years ago. And mm-hmm. look where he's gone. Like, that's supposed to be the jumping off point to get to the national team. And obviously he's gone the other way with that. But Donovan certainly is good enough to be on the Olympic team. He could have been. That was his choice. And maybe, I don't know if he regrets it or not. I haven't talked to him. And I don't know if he'd be honest if he did, but, you know, 4 years of another opportunity. But a lot of it also depends on the team you're on. If you make a deep finals run into June, it's really hard on those guys to turn around then and play on the Olympic team in August because of the demands of July. You get no summer off. It's hard enough when you make a deep finals run. It's hard enough to have any sort of break. But when you put an Olympics on, like LeBron played in 12, they didn't go to the finals in 12. 16, he skipped. He didn't go to the Olympics because of the finals run. So we'll see.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, we'll get to that Little League World Series story in a second. I had asked Owen before the show if he was going to high school football games are all over the area tonight. What, you guys are on the road?
We're in Strongsville tonight.
Avon Lake is in Strongsville. There's a big showdown at Brown Stadium as well.
Avon and Ignatius?
Yeah, heck yeah. So no matter where you are, always support local kids, local athletics, local high school football. Week one already underway. We had a bunch of games last night. But Owen, I asked you that question, and apparently you're going to figure it out on the air.
this is
going to
go
well. You asked me, am I going to the game tonight? And I said, I've been leaning, as the week started, was not going. I've been leaning more towards going. The problem is, I have not discussed it with my wife, and I'm pretty sure she is in the car right now listening. So
this is how we do it.
That's going to get me in trouble.
This is an easy way to fix it. We tell Owen what to do, and his wife will figure it out when
she's
listening.
What I really need is people to just call in and justify to my wife, who is listening right now, why I should be going to this game. It's week one. I've got a high schooler who doesn't play, but I've got a seventh grader and a fifth grader who are both avid football players. They don't have practice tonight. Why would we not be going to this game?
Well, yeah, you're entrenched over there in the sports community.
Of course, I coached most of these high school kids at some point.
He used to be on the chain gang, right?
I've retired. Jason came down there 2 years ago and took a picture of me in action.
I did. Him running down the field. It was awesome.
That went 10 yards at a time. I think you would disappoint the community. I think those kids expect you to be there. I think that's part of the rallying cry for the team tonight.
Fine until I disappoint my wife and am not there tonight and then catch the hell for it for who knows how many days.
Well, you don't get during football season, is the expectation from her that any Friday, really any Friday, Saturday, or Sunday where she gets you, well, but if she gets you at home, it's a win.
I think especially, well, anytime Fridays, like we've kind of made a deal where if it's a road game for the high school, probably staying home more than likely, unless it's Avon, you know, it's right down the street. But that's chaos time.
Right.
Us going to Avon. Anytime it's a home game, and we've got two home games coming, you know, next week and the week after. I think they play Benedictine and Chardon in the next coming weeks. So it's going to be...
So you're out of commission, right, for sure.
For those games, as a younger team coach, we don't require the boys to go, but we like them to be there to support the older kids. They do the spirit tunnel and all that. So she knows I'm going to be gone the next 2 weeks. Makes it kind of tough for me.
But no road spirit tunnel for the opener? It is the opener. This is,
you know, this
sacred.
Is a valid point. I could take this into the battle tonight.
I know Chrissy. Happens. She's a lovely woman. I would not want to be on the opposite side of her.
Jason,
so
come on.
Yeah, especially because the You're next 2 weeks. Me. Like, I understand. I do think there is something special about the first game of the year. I mean, the
it
first
sucks
time.
Open on the road.
It does. And we often said the Browns. I think the one maybe unwritten agreement with the NFL when the Browns were ripped away is, hey, when you come back, you get the home opener every year. We got the home opener like 13 out of 14 straight years.
Yeah.
You kicked off and it was at home. And this year, again, we get it at home. It's one of the weird 4:25 start. I think that's what you do, Owen. I think you have to call the coaches and see if it's not too late to get the spirit tunnel going with the kids.
Who
and
does
now
a
you have
a spirit tunnel on the road. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen
well,
that.
It's a balls move.
I don't know. You can pull that together.
Show up and go spirit tunnel on the road.
You think Strongsville, that would not be met with a lot of pleasantries?
Oh, no. And especially, they've got a new coaching staff there. They've, I'm sure they are using tonight as a way to kick off what could be the future of their program.
That's why you got to have,
all right, we're
gotta have spirit tunnel.
We're going.
We got spirit too on the road. You know what? And they'll be blown away. They're going to say, look at how much those guys want it. They're bringing the young ones and setting the culture very early. They're even bringing the vaunted spirit
it's
tunnel.
It's the game within the game. We got to go out and win the game before the opening kickoff.
Is it really a spirit tunnel if all you're bringing is whoever fits in the car?
Well, I'm going to have to send out a message now.
Is it too late to get
everybody.
The posters made?
I think it's Let's a little go. Late. It's 8 a.m.
No, we'll be fine.
Can you get the posters made?
I will
Can you
call get the office right now and have them make the announcement.
Can you get
up.
The glitter? It's not a
well,
poster.
We're past glitter now. I don't know. Well, it got outlawed last year, but it used to be a big deal for the high school kids for the student section to be baby powder.
Oh,
throwing
yeah.
baby powder in the
yeah.
air.
Yeah.
It was
so why did it get outlawed?
LeBrons over there.
Why did it get outlawed?
Well, because it floats into the rest of the crowd, and then you've got grandma huffing baby powder.
It's like baby
deep
powder
into the first quarter.
Fireworks. You've got those.
They do
those
have
flamethrowers.
The confetti cannons. The kids will bring those
oh,
things.
Amazing.
And there's usually a theme to each one that the high school at least sets forth. But
I chaperoned one of those games.
You did it for the middle school last year.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was horrible. Confetti all over the place.
Oh, it was
horrible.
Like zoo animals.
And then I played a game there on Saturday the next day. Confetti everywhere.
Nobody yeah. did cleanup. You didn't have like the bad kids have to do cleanup on Saturday
That's
morning.
No, because they're not in on Saturdays. In-house detention or in-house suspension. Yeah.
Third quarter, I gave up and just let them tase each other. Like, I was done. Just do whatever you want. I don't care. They're not paying me enough for
now
this.
Now you're making me want to go and see all this debauchery. All right. I saw this story, and this seemed absolutely crazy to me because I can't imagine this happening. And maybe it's the Yankees. Maybe Mitch is going to have to somehow explain this away because I think they might have to take the MVP away from Aaron Judge. Based on this, you cannot turn your back on the kids. We just talked about how important it is to have the kids. Apparently, the Little League World Series is underway right now. As you know, I'm an avid watcher of the Little League World Series.
I watched
Series.
Last weekend. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually saw because the Tigers and Yankees played at
the Little League Classic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah. they showed Aaron Judge showing up in the
surrounded by kids
around.
Signing
yeah,
autographs, like buried under a sea of children, and he was signing autographs for all of them. That's important context,
right? So how did this happen? Because as both teams arrived, this according to the New York Post, star players met with and greeted numerous little leaguers, making their day by signing balls and jerseys and posing for photos. However, Bob Laterza, the manager of South Shore Little League team in Staten Island,
not Laterza.
They're representing the metro region. They were not happy with one Yankee player in particular, and that would be Aaron Judge, who Laterza says didn't meet with his team. He later told Sports Illustrated that his team was promised a meet and greet with the Yankees at International Grove, but Judge and others were absent. Laterza did say his team met with other players, including Garrett Cole, Cy Young Award winner. So that had to be pretty cool.
Not bad.
For the players. Not a bad alternative, right? But Laterza took issue with Judge not meeting with his team and not acknowledging it during the Classic. The Staten Island team had seats behind home plate, which were roughly 25 feet from home plate. Quote, "How about turning around or wave to New York and the kids that think you're a hero," Laterza said. "They're the ones who pay your salary." They were disappointed, he said. Maybe he'll want to make it up for them and come see them at some point.
You missed the best quote about "we pay your salary."
I was getting to it because at the end it did go on to say,
"Yeah,
you know, we do pay your salary."
As
now,
do the
Little League teams pay the salaries of the Major League Baseball players?
Well, do it the amount they're charging the parents. I mean, come on.
As soon as you drop the "I pay your salary" line, you deserve to be punched in the neck.
I started off on Laterza's side here. I'm not going to lie.
You were on the Laterza side.
I was on Laterza's side. Then you told me they still got to talk to Garrett Cole. So just imagine if somehow I got to take my team, or Jason, the team that your son's on, goes to the Little League World Series and the Guardians are there and Jose, you know, we're told Jose's going to come talk to you guys because you're the team locally affiliated with them. And not seeing him, I'm sure everybody would be kind of disappointed. But then if you went, well, Class A is going to come out, though.
Yeah.
All right, we got a good alternative. I think it'd be pretty cool. And then you're right, dropping that line at the end is...
I don't know if they were ever promised Aaron Judge. And Judge, you can find all kinds of pictures of Aaron Judge signing autographs.
He's great. He's great with this.
Yes.
I have a theory.
That guy's just a typical New York moron.
I have a theory. This guy is one of those hucksters that is out as the players like pull in to the Guardians parking lot.
Yeah.
He thought he'd get some signatures and he thought he'd make some money. He thought he would get some signed merchandise.
Well, it is
he'd have the kids do it.
It's a classic move to bring your child with you. And what's better than
up
one
to the
kid?
Front.
Yeah.
Yep.
A roster of 12.
Yeah. Yep.
This guy probably owes some bookie some money, and this is how he was going to recoup it. It's Staten Island. Come on. Anybody that knows anything about Staten Island knows exactly what this dude's deal is. That is embarrassing. All right, when we come back,
I'll ask
John Greco about it when we return.
My wife just texted me, the women are teaming up on you. She said, I just texted Chrissy, but it was not in support of Owen. So
now this might have backfired.
So now my wife apparently was listening.
Now we have a true Fix My Life that we need to do.
If Chrissy was not listening, she is now.
Here we go, Lloyds and Lottemans. We're drawing... Route 83 is the dividing line. Do not cross it, boys.
Enjoy this break. We're going to see him feverishly texting.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.